Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm your host, John Cook, and I'm joined again by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, July 27th, 2021. Glad to have you back on the podcast, George, especially ahead of the Fed meeting.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. So the bond markets have since consolidated a bit. We obviously explored, some pretty rich levels last week. That being said, by almost any measure, 10 and 30-year treasury yields remain very close to recent lows. I guess I'd like to start off with just what's your take on this latest price action?
Yeah, no, it's been at least as we discussed in the last podcast when I was on last week, at least with this never-ending rally has at least kind of taken a pause here. But, at these low levels, we really cannot have too much comfort that that means it's all done and dusted and the coast is clear. We do have some key events with the Fed, which we'll discuss later on, as well as, August, which typically, from a seasonal perspective, has always been favorable for the bond market, especially for long duration. The question really is, was some of that, that buying and receiving activity and parking cash for yield, was that done in July already? And we're going to see a sideways market continue into August. That's the real question. Or, are we going to see a resumption of the rally, which would really require some sort of bad outcomes to kind of come to the fore. If you look at equity markets, pretty much sitting near all-time highs. Overall, the earnings season has been going over well and no really huge outliers that are signaling some sort of trouble in the equity space. So it would really have to be something coming out of the blue to really force risk markets to, to retrench. And also then by extension, the bond market would have a catalyst to rally further. Presumably, I'm not able to look into a crystal ball and say that we're not going to have any sort of downside risks into August and September. But as long as equities hang in here and the data continues to perform, I think we are in this process of trying to form a bottom. And I think that's what the markets are starting to grapple with. And that's why we're seeing more two-way action at these lower yield levels.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I guess we could all agree on, although we don't know what the future holds, we can all agree on that, what's felt like an unrelenting rally just day in and day out has at least slowed down enough for us to step back and think about what lies ahead. The FOMC comes to mind, month end comes to mind. And on an administrative note, we're recording this podcast on Tuesday, July 27th, one day ahead of the July FOMC meeting, whereas you, our listeners, should be listening to it the morning of. So, George, you just put out your preview. Why don't you walk our listeners what to expect from the Fed?
Sure. So this is a non-quarterly Fed meeting. Tomorrow, on Wednesday, it'll conclude the two-day meeting. Because it's a non-quarterly meeting, we will not get any updates on their forecast for either growth, inflation, or the infamous dots, the rate forecast, which really were the catalyst in my view, and I think the markets in general agree, considering that we had a big bear flattening of rates right after the Fed meeting back in June, that it was the dots that really kind of triggered that move and got people thinking about a Fed pulling forward its tightening schedule. Without the dots, and we're really going to have to rely upon what's in the statement and any updates thereof, and as well as what Chair Powell communicates in his prepared remarks, as well as his answers to questions from the press at the press conference right after. There's been some developments in the last 6 weeks. Notwithstanding the bond market rally, which I think this is an opportunity for Chair Powell and the Fed in general to deliver a positive message on where we are in the economy, and that nothing's really come up to derail them from establishing a taper process, as well as reviewing what and how to do it, and not necessarily to give us a timing of it. I don't think this is the right meeting for the timing of the taper, but I think delivering a positive message that the economy now is heading in the right direction. There is obviously risks, especially with the Delta variant now taking hold further in the country. But as long as we have I think they're also going to probably couch that against that unlike last year, the population is much more vaccinated and we're also more prepared to handle what may lie ahead, that the economy won't come screeching to a halt. A positive message I think would go a long way, as well as set the stage for this taper, which should happen sometime in the fall. And so I think, you know, that will be the, you know, what we'll probably read from either the statement and or what's communicated from the press conference by Chair Powell. I mean, the other possible thing that's out there, and these are more wild cards and not necessarily, you know, form my base view, but if the Fed wanted to lean more on the hawkish side and were to suggest that, you know, bond markets, especially the mortgage market and the treasury market, are, you know, are operating back to normal, and they have been for quite some time. And so this notion of they're buying bonds for market functions as well as for the macro outlook projections and what they're trying to achieve on the economy, if they were to drop the market functioning aspect and suggest that, you know, the markets are fine and therefore they're not buying bonds or doing QE for that reason, that would be on the hawkish side and at least would, you know, kind of tip their hat that they're getting ready to taper and they're not really going to shy away from it. That's probably a little bit too hawkish for them to do at this point, but I think it could come either now or in the upcoming meetings before they taper or even at Jackson Hole. And then, you know, if they kind of go more with a kind of consensus kind of outcome, which is my overall base case, and they just, you know, keep saying they're on track towards tapering and, you know, are communicating more information, I think that unlike the June meeting, we shouldn't see a big market reaction because a lot of this is already digested and at least analyzed by market participants. But the critical part is we're starting from such a low level of rates and a pretty flat curve. So if the Fed wanted to, you know, help re-steepen the curve and take some of the pressure off of what taper may do for financial conditions, it could also strengthen its flexible inflation average inflation target framework by just kind of emphasizing how it works, and that couched with you know, the tapering plans would steepen the curve, I think, all else equal. So, I mean, I think that's, you know, what lies ahead, you know, as we get the Fed out of the way on Wednesday. But I do think that, you know, that now's not the time to shy from this process. And I think that, you know, they're going to deliver a positive message.
Well, let's say that the, you know, that your base case scenario plays out, you know, where they continue this positive message and that really sets the ball in motion for announcing and then subsequently starting tapering in the fall. I'm curious what's in store for markets more in the, you know, let's say, you know, near to medium term.
Yeah. So between now and mid-August, you know, it's quite possible that we'll see, hopefully, well, I mean, I've now been neutral and I think that, you know, rates probably are going to have a harder time rallying unless there's some sort of negative news, as I mentioned before. But hopefully that would at least push up rates a little bit higher into the middle of the month of August, which is when the Treasury will issue new 10-year and 30-year bonds. I mean, these current 10s and 30s have had a lot of action considering the sort of market moves that we've seen over the quarter since the May refunding. And, you know, in order to reset and get some concession back into the market to entice investors to underwrite these securities, the new ones that when they get announced and then auctioned in early to mid-August, I mean, I think that investors will want at least a slightly higher coupon than where rates are trading right now. So that could push up, you know, the 10-year up towards 1.4 to try to lock in a 1 3/8 coupon and push definitely 30s away above 2% to at least get that kind of number in place. Beyond that point, it gets a little bit more trickier, and it really comes down to what happens at Jackson Hole, as well as, you know, are we even able to climb back up towards those levels of rates to begin with? And if we can't climb back to, let's say, 1.4, then eventually 1.5, which is still my quarter end target for Q3, then something else is at work and the markets are more concerned about the growth dynamic, you know, globally first and probably then eventually the US. And so it's a critical time to see this, you know, market try to tilt back up to higher rates, slightly higher rates, because it's nothing really out of the norm, but, you know, stopping the rally and then a kind of move back up towards 1.4, 1.5 would at least be a more of a positive message for markets that things are not that bad. And that would also then align for the Fed to, you know, potentially taper without being disruptive to the bond markets.
Yeah, well, you've certainly given us a lot to think about ahead of the FOMC meeting, and plenty of things in play, you know, both both at the meeting and over the medium term. So I would definitely encourage our listeners to check out your research piece, the July 2021 FOMC preview and market implications. Thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Good to be here as always. Thanks, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.